Blog Talk Radio.
Remember, he's coming like a thief in the night, so everybody be ready so that you don't have to get ready. Amen. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila. Hello, Tasila.
Welcome.
How are you?
Hello, hello, hello. I want to say hello to all our friends and family all over the world. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for your prayers and support and your questions that you send in, and it's
yeah.
been a blessing to be able to talk to you guys.
Yes, indeed. So now you guys know the drill. You know what I'm going to ask you to do. Pick up your phones and grab your computers. Go to your inbox or text your family and friends and encourage them to dial in right now. Okay, our number to dial in, and you know it, 646-668-8537. Make sure you tell them that if they want to dial in, dial 646-668-8537, or just click on the picture of T. Meyer and Tasila, or on the link wherever you see the post of this particular show, okay? And that's if you want to listen from your computer, and you can listen from your computer on Facebook. If you see it on Instagram, Alignable, or Twitter, if you see the link or the link for this particular show, you can click on it. And on Facebook, you can click on it all this week and listen to the entire program over and over again if you like. Okay. Also, remember that we're on HSBN.TV. Our show is called The Message of Life, and we are live on HS.TV on Facebook Live, also on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. So tune in. You will be blessed, okay? You can also find us on other social media, TV shows, apps, and platforms all throughout the week. You know, like to name a few, On Demand, Roku, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and many, many more. Just type in The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain, okay? And also, we want to invite every one of you to come and worship with us. We are Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, and we're located at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. That's 869 North Euclid Avenue in Upland, California, 91786. Our services start at 1:30 p.m. That's right, in the afternoon. So if you're in the California area, if you're near Upland and Inland Empire area in California, just come and visit us, okay? Okay, okay. That sounds good to me. And also what sounds good, say that again, Pastor Tasila.
Oh, I said me too.
Oh, you, yes, indeed. We're going to have a really good program tonight, and I'm really positive that all of you are going to be really blessed by today's program. And we just, we're, like I said, we're excited. We're always excited when our guests, our special guest comes and join us. It's always very exciting. So I tell you what we'll do. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Just hang in there, all righty? This is Kim Burrell. To Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila. And we just want to welcome some of you who may have just dialed in or clicked on the link and you're listening from your computer. Welcome. And also, wait a minute. What is this? I hear something. You hear that, Tasila? Let's see. What is that? Yeah, that's it. That's right. You heard it. And you know what that means. It is time for a TNT moment. So, Pastor Tasila, what's the question for today? Pastor Tasila, are you on mute?
I was in virtual land somewhere. I said, what does it mean to pour out your spirit and to pour out? You know, when God says in Joel 2:28, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And to pour out means a rainfall and rich abundance. It is emphasizing the greatness of a fresh outpouring of the spirit and power of God. And not in drops or a little here and a little there, but in great abundance. The power of the Holy Spirit is what is transforming each of us anew every day. Every Christian has that power operating in them, if you're a true Christian. 2 Corinthians 3 says that we are being transformed by the Spirit of the Lord. But the Holy Spirit, you guys, all should know this, especially if you're already a believer, started on the day of Pentecost. And we that belong to him are being changed from glory to glory. And we'll continue until we see ourselves and we look like him. Why was it sent in the first place? Is what this person wants to know. Why is this outpouring occurring? Because it was a promise from Jesus. In his farewell discourse, you know, Jesus had to his disciples in John 15:26, he promised them he would send the Holy Spirit to them after his departure, saying, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. And because we are the temples of the Lord, that he wants to fully dwell in us is the other reason. Because God is making us his dwelling place. Acts 2 says, on the day that Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place. Suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realm. The roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. Then at once a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them. They were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit and were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit by speaking in other languages they have never learned. So the Aramaic reads like the roar of a groaning spirit. This mighty wind is for power. This pillar of fire that they are speaking on is the same pillar of fire that led the children of Israel from out of bondage into the promised land. The same pillar of fire manifested here will initiate a new beginning from the dead religious structures into the powerful life of the Spirit of God, as you can see. You know, the Lord is going to use that same Holy Ghost fire and power to break some of these yokes that has taken over some of the churches and made different types of systems other than what God created everything to be. Jesus said this gospel is only one really pure, true gospel. And anything else that was added beyond that gospel has to come off. It has to be broken. It has to be removed. And that Holy Ghost fire is what's going to burn all the chaff off, and all that's going to stand is the good wheat. and no more tears. Each one of us, the believers, received an overpowering flame of fire, showing the shaft of light that engulfed them. Now, it wasn't just like it just came in as a fire and it went everywhere. Each person has had its own flame of fire and or shaft of light. And it was as though everyone received his own personal pillar of fire that would empower him and lead him through his life. And it's the same with every Christian. Every last one of those, or all you beautiful people out there that have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, have this also. You are engulfed also in that pillar and that fire. Jesus promised that he gave to the disciples, he said it like this. He said, the one like me. He called that Holy Ghost, that outpouring, he called it, he said, the one like me who would be sent from the Father and never leave them. Now, that's really beautiful. The one like me, meaning God in you, Christ in you, a hope of glory, sent from the Father. And it will never leave them. Now, you know how a lot of times people want to separate that Holy Ghost and fire, and they want to separate Jesus, and they want to separate the Father. Remember when the last prayer Jesus said, that they may be one, even as we are one. All of us are one, Lord. Now, today, every true believer is indwelt by that Spirit of Christ. And this was the birthday of the Church of Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? It was the birthday. And how it began, so shall it end, with a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, like Joel 2:28 and Acts 2:16. The Lord continually speaks on pouring out his Spirit on all flesh. The prophet Joel says it, and shall come that it shall come to pass afterwards, after what? In the end time, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. A vision, you guys, if you don't know what that is, we got a lot of noise. I don't know what all that noise is. But a vision is like a dream, but you're awake. And also upon my servants and my handmaidens in those days will I pour out my Spirit. And as you can see, females will be co-laboring with the Lord. Contrary to belief, God is not against women speaking. Here in Acts 21:8, it says, then we went on to Caesarea and stayed for several days in the home of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven deacons and the father of four unmarried daughters who prophesy. Now, prophecy is only uttered by divine inspiration. So he had four daughters who were prophetess, and they prophesied all the time. And the Holy Spirit was poured out even not just on the day of Pentecost, but before the day of Pentecost, it was poured out on the, in Isaiah, it prophesied about the Holy Spirit being poured out on Jesus. And it says, and he increased, and you guys know he did, and waxed strong. And we will take a look at that in Isaiah 1, chapter 2. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, that he is the vine, you are the branches. That's what they're saying. Jesus is the stem that's growing out of Jesse, and you are the branches growing on the vine. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the branch, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel, might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. The Spirit was poured out on Christ in fullness. The seven spirits of God was upon him. The Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost also, will be poured out in the future tribulation and during the millennium. Joel 30:32 says, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered from, for in Mount Zion, and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and the remnant whom the Lord shall call, because the Holy Spirit himself, the Spirit of the living God, shall be in his people. And his people, Zion, shall be a sanctuary and a refuge. The Holy Spirit will be poured out on all flesh, and men will continue to be saved during the tribulation period, for these signs will take place in that day, the great and terrible day of the Lord. So praise God that he has a comforter. He has his Holy Spirit that not only is upon us, in us, working through us, and we will continue with the Holy Spirit to transfer it to others that will be coming in tribulation into the millennium. Praise the Lord. That's what the outpouring is. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Right, Pastor.
Everybody, don't go. Amen. Right, right, right. Everybody, don't go away. We will be right back after this.
Always living big.
You are listening to Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila. Praise the Lord. Okay, the question was asked, what does it mean when God says he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh? It means just that. God is going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. When the disciples of Jesus Christ received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, Peter told the people that this was that which was spoken of by Joel the prophet. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Well, a lot of that happened, what the Lord said. A lot of that happened. A lot of people are seeing visions, dreaming dreams, prophesying, all of that. It happened, and it's still actually happening now. So Peter was correct when he told the people this. However, all of that prophecy wasn't fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. For example, Joel continued to say, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. This part of the prophecy hasn't come to pass yet. Joel spoke of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He said that all of these things will happen before the day of the Lord. The day of Pentecost was only the beginning of these times. Keep in mind that Joel said in those days. That means that there are more days to come. God's Spirit being poured out upon all flesh means just that. He's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. That means all flesh will be affected by this outpouring. All kinds of flesh, the flesh of people, animals, fish of the sea, everything will be affected in the days to come by this outpouring. God gave to his disciples what we call the former rain, the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost. That was the former rain. That means that they only received a portion of his spirit. It was the earnest or a down payment of the inheritance. What does that mean? That means it's more to come. That down payment is what we call the former rain, the first rain of the season. And we have been operating on that former rain from the day of Pentecost of the Holy Spirit for a little less than 2,000 years or so. The complete prophecy of Joel 28 tells us that God is sending the rain of the Holy Spirit, the former and the latter rain in the same month. What does that mean? It means at the same time. It is the law of the harvest. In the natural, a farmer waits for the first rain for his crops. But he really looks for the latter rain because the latter rain of the season is the heavier rain. It's more rain. It's the same in the spirit realm. The first rain of the Spirit was the day of Pentecost. But the latter rain of the Spirit will be the former and the last rain of the Holy Spirit at the same time. That means he's giving us all of him, all of his Spirit. That's when the rest of Joel's prophecy will be fulfilled in the second chapter of Joel. It'll fully come to pass. That's when the Lord will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Then Joel went on to say, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The outpouring of God's Spirit is the anointing that will be upon his golden candlestick church first. which is the sevenfold anointing of Holy Spirit and fire power. It is the seven spirits of God resting upon his church and sent out into all the world, changing things, changing the earth, the atmosphere, animals, and teaching and changing the people. It will be on his church first, and then it will spread and multiply as we go out into all the world, making the people who receive them both born again, new creation people, the sons and daughters of God. When God pours out his spirit upon all flesh, yes, indeed, amen. When God pours out his spirit upon all flesh, it shall bring forth the end of this world, this system as we know it, and the beginning of the kingdom realm of God on earth. Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom. Well, what gospel is this? The gospel that Jesus preached. He said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. The kingdom message that we will preach will be the same message that Jesus preached. It's the message of the kingdom realm of God. The kingdom message that we will preach will be a witness to all nations because we will be demonstrating the powers of the age to come. The gospel or good news that we will preach in this hour will be the kingdom message of power and love. We will be working under God's powerful anointing. We will be his greater works people, changing this world and establishing God's kingdom on earth. The outpouring of his spirit will come at a time of much tribulation, persecutions, trials, which will be, these trials and persecutions and all of that, this tribulation, we're beginning to see that quite clearly right now, as a matter of fact.
Amen.
We're starting to
see it.
In this hour, it will be the time of God's wrath upon the earth. And only those who call on the name of the Lord and are sealed with his spirit shall be saved. Keep in mind that God's spirit is sent. His spirit is sent to save us, to help us, to deliver us from Satan's deadly attacks, ungodly men, and especially from the wrath of the living God. If we call on him, believe in him, trust in him, and love him, we will for sure be saved. And then we will see and experience a new heaven and a new earth. For the former heaven and earth shall pass away. God says he shall make all things new, and that means all things
mm-hmm.
new. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's the reason the outpouring has to come.
It has to come. It really has to come. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't go away, everybody. We'll be right back. Hang in there.
You've changed my heart forever. I'll never be the same. My love for you, like the dust on my shoes, will never wash away. Just where you'll be, and I will meet you under the mango tree, way up in the sky. I will meet you when pain is no more, and there are no tears left to cry. I can't wait to see you at the mango tree in the sky. came to be his hands and feet, and you shall meet his face. Service, love, and faithfulness were the greatest gifts you gave. And if we never meet again in this crazy life, I know just where you'll be. And I will meet you under the mango tree, way up in the sky. I will meet you where pain is no more, and there are no tears left to cry. I can't wait to see you at the mango tree in the sky. No more death or war or suffering to see. No more chains to bear, we will be set free. No more tears of pain or loss of family. No more sin or strife at the mango tree. No more death or war or suffering to see. No more shame to bear, we will be set free. No more tears of pain or loss of family. No more sin or strife at the mango tree. I will meet you under the mango tree, way up in the sky. I will
Sarah, yeah. You are listening to Christian Talk with, yes, you're listening to Christian Talk with P. Meyer and Tasila, and now we're going to introduce our special guest. Our special guest tonight is our beloved sister, Kelly Heilig. Hello, Kelly. How are you today?
Hi, Kelly.
I'm doing wonderful. I'm so blessed. Thank you for having me on. And hello, brothers and sisters in Christ. Good to be back with you.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
good
and
to have you.
I know. And
we
for some of you who may
you
have
last week.
Yeah. And some of you who may have missed last week, let me tell you a little bit about Kelly. Kelly turned 55 this year and is still growing strong in the Lord and is very blessed. So far, the Lord has given her 29 years of marriage to her wonderful husband and a really good guy, because we know Jeff, her husband Jeff, and still counting the years for many more good years of marriage. She was blessed to be a stay-home mom to her two beautiful children, Sydney and Jacob, and we know them too. Kelly taught fitness classes for 25 years and was referee for club soccer for 10 years. She's been walking with the Lord for as far back as she can remember, but she asked him into her heart at the age of 12. Her absolute love is for her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and then her family. They are her everything. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Kelly Heilig. Hello, Kelly, sister.
Hello. Hello.
Oh.
That was a beautiful messages earlier, just beautiful messages. And, you know, I love what, you know, Paul had said, you know, to rejoice in our trials and tribulations, although they're not fun to go through, but boy, they mold us into the character and into the image of God. And so wonderful messages. And thank you again for having me on tonight. This has been such a blessing for me. I think I spoke with you the other day, and the Lord has really been working with me. I'm so more in love with him this past week. I didn't think I could love him more, but I am so much more in love with
him.
Just reviewing your – everyone should do this. Reviewing your testimony and the things that the Lord has done in your life. And he's been healing my brokenness, which has been wonderful.
Yeah.
And we've been talking nonstop since, like, last Wednesday. So it's dangerous to give me a week time to think about my testimony, because I could write many books on just so many wonderful blessings that he has brought to my life and my family's life. So I'm so grateful that you allowed me to share my testimony, because honestly, it's everybody's testimony. It's a love story that everybody has. Mine is unique to me.
Yeah.
And everybody has their own unique story that they walk with the Lord, their journey. The characters might be different.
Mm-hmm.
Stories are different. Our tribulations are different. But we're all headed in the same direction. And that's, you know, the kingdom with the Lord and walking
Amen.
It with the Holy Spirit. So I do want to start with a prayer and then one of my go-to scriptures. And then I'll do a little recap. And then the Lord kind of chastised me a little bit. He's like, look at Kelly, you know, the first 20 years of your life was your time of trials and tribulations and molding and giving me a heart like his, a compassion for brokenheartedness and those, you know, who may not always get along with their families. You know, and he's shown me, you know, the story when he's in the house with, you know, a lot of people and his mom and his brother outside and they can't get in because the crowd's so large. And they're like, hey, you know, Lord, you know, your mom and dad, your mom and your brother are outside. And, you know, he tells them, well, who is my mother? Who is my brother? You are my family. And so, yes, we have a family here,
right,
you know, on earth, our flesh, but our family, you know, is with him in heaven. And so all of you out there are my family. And so I hope you can get something out of my testimony, because no matter what we do, tribulations and trials we go through, he's going to pull us out. Just, you know, he's going to be there, just like I said last time with Peter walking on the water and him seeing the Lord. And then all of a sudden he sees the storm coming and he starts thinking, because his focus is off the Lord and it's focused on what Satan is in the waves. And he reaches his hands out and, you know, he says, Peter, how could you doubt? You know, just always look at me. I'm here always to grab. So let me start with a prayer, if that's okay, and then my go-to scripture, and then I'll do a little recap. And then he wants me to kind of cover a little bit more about my family life and how I got to where I was. And then there's not too much more after my fun divine intervention with my pastor, T and Tasila. So let me start with a prayer, if that's okay. And then I'll go.
Sure.
Heavenly Father, I praise you for your awesome power. I'm grateful for your provision over our lives. I thank you for the mighty privilege of being able to come before you, seeking your guidance and direction over our lives. Lord, we want to be a vessel of honor for you. We are joining together in prayer, and we want to be of service to you, Lord. I ask that you cleanse us from all that is dishonorable. We repent, Lord, and ask for your blood to cleanse us. We come before you with all of our failures. We lay all of our mistakes down at your feet, and we ask, Father, that you would shape us and that you would mold us. Make us a pure vessel in your sight. Father, your word has promised in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please cleanse us, Father. Remove anything from our lives that may prevent us from being a vessel for your kingdom, and take away all of our selfishness, our jealousy, and lying. Remove all the sinful thoughts and tendencies that lead us to sin. Wash and cleanse us so that we can be pure and empty vessels for your work, Lord. We surrender our lives to you so that you can mold us and transform us for your purpose. Fill us with passion for your word and draw us close to you in prayer. And, Father, I pray that we would be less of us and more of you. We yield our desires, ambitions, and plans to you so that you can make us into the vessels you want us to be. Work in us and work through us, Holy Spirit. Please kindle a desire within us to worship and bring you glory. You have called us for a purpose, and, Father, we are ready to be used by you. Let us be powerful witnesses for your kingdom. And, Father, I thank you in advance for what you're going to do tonight, testimony that you're going to speak through me to those who are out there who are hurting, feel abandoned and lonely. Lord, just let these words touch them, lift them up. Be a righteous right hand for them, Lord. And anyone who hasn't asked the Lord into their heart, because I have a heart for the lost, you know, Lord, just draw close to them. Help them to just believe in you and ask you into their heart, Lord. So I ask this in your precious, mighty name. Amen. So my go-to scripture is Proverbs 3:56. And this is one I say to myself all the time. It's trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So for me, in my journey, you know, it says trust in the Lord with all your heart. And I haven't always done that. You know, it's not 10%, 50%. It's got to be 100%. You can't lean on your own understanding. And you have to acknowledge him in all his ways so he can make your path straight. And my paths have been very wide and crooked. But over time and how he's worked with me and molded me and shaped me, now the, you know, those narrow paths are, you know, getting smaller. So like Pastor T said, I've known the Lord as far back as I can remember. I've always felt the presence of the Holy Spirit very young, as early as probably 2 or 3. And we did go to church as a family. The Lord gave me my first Bible. I believe I was about 7. So although it came through my mom, the Lord always gives us good gifts through other people. He gave me my first cross that I actually still wear in my teenage years. But we did go to church. Always loved dressing up. Always loved singing the hymns. I was always the first at the table to say grace. So I've always been in love with him, and I did ask him into my heart about 12 years old, and it was actually my friend next door, it was her mother. She led me in the prayer, and I asked him into my life at 12, and first book I read was Revelation, and, you know, a third of the Bible is prophecy, and so I guess he wanted me to kind of gear towards, you know, prophecy. And it wasn't scary to me. It's a revelation of the Lord. And in the first chapter, it says, whoever reads this is very blessed. So The Lord did want me to kind of go over my childhood a little bit more, to kind of understand the direction I was going and how far down and dark I went. But it also molded me into a heart of compassion for those who are lonely and broke. So, he wanted me to share that, you know, to the Lord, marriage is so important. Family is so important to him. I mean, we're going to be, you know, we're married to the Lord. And, you know, the sanctification of marriage between man and woman is very important to him. And, you know, he has said a house divided, a family divided, a nation divided will not stand. It will fall. And our house,
correct,
was very divided and very chaotic and very stressful, and it was very sad. And I think I don't blame my parents fully, because of course there's always, you know, two sides to a story. I'm at fault too. I didn't always honor my mother and father, but they had broken families of their own. So it starts, you know, with their parents and then my parents and then how I am with my children. So both of my parents had very hard upbringings. Both parents had lost their parents very young, so they didn't know how to give affection And that trickled down into our family. So it was very broken. There were four siblings in the household. But we were very afraid of my father. My parents fought quite a bit. I ended up kind of creating my own little family with myself, I guess. The Holy Spirit was a great companion. I read my Bible a lot. And then my cat was another companion I had. So it was the Holy Spirit and my cat pretty much the first 20 years of my life. I guess I was considered the black sheep of the family. I was actually given that statement again just recently in a joke from a sibling, but that was my status, and it's okay. It's not coming from them. I know how Satan works. I know his schemes, how he gets through people. So it was fine, but that Lord's been working with me with that this past week, and that's really been helping. So he's like, you know, Kelly, okay, you're the black sheep, own it, because I came for the black sheep. I'm the shepherd, and I'm going to wash you clean white. And I came for all the lost. You know, I came to, you know, set the captives free, you know, break the chains, you know, heal the blind, you know, heal the lame, you know, heal those who are spiritually dead. That's who I came for. I didn't come for the healthy. So, you know, our household, there was a lot of fighting with my parents. Again, we were afraid of my father. As my sister and I were growing up, my father liked to go around in his undergarments. And as two young girls, you don't do that. And at one point, my father did try laying into my bed. And the Holy Spirit helped me, got me out of that situation. And actually couldn't even tell my mom. I had to tell my brother. My brother told my mom. My mother, I guess, had a discussion with my father, and nothing was ever said again. So that put a lot of distress for me to my father. So I didn't always get along with my parents. I kind of made my friends my family. So I did go to church all this time. My best friend and my boyfriend at the time were Catholic, so I started attending a Catholic church. So that's Satan's little hurdle of mine. So that Satan always, you know, when you get close to the Lord, he always tends to bring these hurdles up towards you. And, you know, unless you're strong in foundation with the Lord, you're going to stumble. And that's, I think, a downfall with our church these days is once people ask the Lord into their heart and they're born again, you know, there's no one to guide them. There's not churches out there these days to guide. And you know, once, you know, you've asked the Lord into your heart, you're now a target. You've got a target on your back, and you've got to find that foundation. You've got to find those mentors out there that are willing to help you. So I just started getting into a little bit more trouble here and there. Although I was still walking with the Lord, I said like last time, you know, I'm always walking in one kingdom or the other. You know, I've got one foot with the Lord, and then I've got one foot in this world, and you can't do that. And so I did, you know, drinking and, you know, moved out right when I was 18. I had two pregnancies that I did not keep. I got in trouble with stealing and did, you know, some pot, and that was about 2 years from about 18 to 20, and the Lord had enough, and he scared me pretty bad. So thankfully, I pulled myself out of that, and I did keep going to church, and was baptized Catholic at the time, and so again, the first probably 20 years of my life were definitely the hardest, very lonely. I actually cried a lot as a child. I didn't feel like my parents loved me. But, you know, my fault too. I don't put all the blame on them. But my siblings and I got along great. We kind of made our own deal, but never brought my friends over. Didn't ever want to bring my friends over. But this, you know, it's... But we lived in, this is what the Lord wanted me to say. You know, we lived in a nice home. school, went to a good high school in Upland close to your Presbyterian church. You know, I played sports. You know, I was a cheerleader. You know, we had everything. We didn't lack anything. So on the outside, everything looked great. But on the inside, it was falling apart. And it was very sad. And that's how we are. You know, you can't always judge a book by its cover. You know, the Lord has always said, you know, watch out for the wolves, you know, the ravenous wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. So because you see a nice house or a person walking down the street with nice things, you know, they could be going through things. There could be things going on in a household that you don't know about, or a person walking down the street that may look, you know, put together, but, you know, they may be hurting. And so that first 20 years really molded and shaped me into a heart like the Lord has, a compassion for the lost, the broken. So because of that, I've been involved in prison ministry. I've been volunteering fitness classes at convalescent hospitals with the elderly, reading with the elderly. I've worked and volunteered at the local food banks, senior center. I've been involved in animal rescue. I'm always the first to have a shoulder for someone to lean on. A lot of our kids would come to our house. And in fact, I'm so opposite that when my kids were in elementary school, that if I knew, because I was always like the, you know, the homeroom mom, because I was a stay-home mom, if I knew a kid had to miss a recess, I would, oh, I have to be at the school, and I would sit with them all at the recess and play with them, because I just don't like seeing people sad or hurt. And so I'm always the first to be there, I hope. And I hope that's what people see in me, too. Is, you know, some kids, I just gravitate towards those that have problems, you know, in their families. And, in fact, a friend of my son, I had confessed my sins to her because she was having problems with her family. And I told her about the children that I did not keep. And I think it was a few months later, she actually got pregnant, and she has a 3-year-old daughter now, and she was not married at the time. She had just a boyfriend. So I hope I was put in the right place at the right time for her for that reason. And I think the Lord does that. So although my first 20 years were rough, the trials and tribulations were to rejoice in those. They're not fun. They're hurtful. But the Lord is so gracious to forgive us, so merciful, so long-suffering and enduring, and just always there to pick us up and lead us forward. I think that's one thing I've always loved Pastor T and Cecilia saying is, you know, it's not always the thing, it's not like you're always falling down, it's how you get up and keep moving, just keep moving, because as we know, the days are dark and they're getting darker. You know, we know good is evil and evil is good, and it's just you just got to keep plugging away. It's like Paul said, you're running that race, and you need to fight the good fight of faith, because in the end, you have a crown, a victorious crown of righteousness waiting for you. And so that's what we're striving for. We're to be created. We are created in the image of God. But now, like you said, Tasila, in your message, we're being sanctified and transformed. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to do it. You have to die to yourself daily, and you have to pick up your cross. The Lord did it. He's our prime example. He did that. He has been tested, and always we have. And he says, you know, and abide in me, and you may have peace. Listen to this. You abide in me, and you may have peace. So you have to really struggle to get into that peace. But you will have tribulation. But rejoice, because I've overcome the world. I've been tested through all those things. So I met my husband around 23. We got married, had 2 children, always going to church. Actually, went to church with my father-in-law quite a bit early on in our marriage. Jeff actually just started going to church a few years ago with Pastor T and Tasila. He's always loved the Lord, asked the Lord into his heart, very young also, but just, you know, slowly, you know, like Tasila said, you plant the seed and you allow that seed to grow. And that person at their mm-hmm. time and their schedule, you can't push it because you can turn people away. So, but now, you know, he so loves the Lord. He's first to pray at the table now. And it's, you know, we're so grateful for both you, Pastor T and Tasila, to be in our lives because you, through the Holy Spirit, has really drawn us close to the Lord. So, so then I got involved in New Age in like around 2005. So I was, again, the Lord's always with me, but it's just Satan's like, oh, look over here, just like he did to, you know, Adam and Eve. You know, oh, did God really say that? Did God, oh, God's over here. No, look over here. So I did get involved in New Age and like the ancient aliens and the UFO stuff for maybe about 4 years. And at that time, I did come out of church, but I was still studying and still the Lord was leading me in different areas. I've gone to Baptist church, Presbyterian, of course, the Catholic church. And then about 2012, you know, the Lord's like, okay, enough of that. This is wrong. And you need to, you know, repent from all of these things, these, you know, idols that you've put in front of me. And I did. I literally scoured my entire house and threw absolutely everything away that was anything New Age or anything. I threw away rosary beads, any type of idols. Throw them away because they will bring those demons into your house. And they.
Kelly, for those that are out there listening and they don't understand what that means, because it's just like a saying, you know, like we're saying reset a lot right now. Well, in the Christendom, they always say New Age. Can you explain that to some of the people?
Oh, goodness.
What that
Oh, absolutely. Goodness. Okay, so, and I think I did that last time. So New Age is like the crystals, the chakras. You know, of course, you have your mediums, and you have the tapes, yoga. New Age actually runs a huge gambit. So it's all of that. It's the crystals. It's you're going to be God at some point. And candle lighting and the moon and this and that. And that's just all pagan. That is all has been around since the beginning of time. It's just Satan's way mm-hmm. to distract you from the love of God. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, it's just it's the chakras and cleansing in yourself and, you know, sense and all that. The all-seeing mm-hmm. eye. I mean, we could go off on all that kind of stuff. The Lord took me away from that around 2012 and just really started bringing me in closer to him. It's like, okay, look at you. You've had enough of, you know, these idols and these pagans and you going off. I'm right here. You know, so he did start steering me towards, like, David Wilkerson, Derek Prince, Chuck Missler, mm-hmm. Catherine Kluman. So I was starting to really listen to those. And then a few
mm-hmm.
authors, like Dr. Michael Lake, who did the Shinar Directive. And then my first book, David Limbaugh, is called The Emmaus Code, which is about the Lord's traveling after his resurrection with two disciples, and he discusses the Old Testament and how it points to
mm-hmm.
him in that way. And then my favorite part here is when I met Pastor T and Tasila, and it was absolutely a divine intervention. It was 2018, and there was a conference, Christian conference in Lancaster that I went to. I've never been to a Christian conference. I've been studying and getting closer and learning from the Lord just in my home. So I haven't been to a church in probably about 17 years, but still, again, learning. So I was never out of the Word. I was always learning and reading the Word, and the Lord was always showing me different things. And so I went to this Christian conference. It was the second night. And the Lord told me to go in last. I want you to go last. You know, last is first and first is last. I'm like, okay, I'll go last. Went in there, and it was a well-known speaker, and so it was very crowded and not many seats available left, and I happened to go towards the front, towards the pole, and there was this older gentleman with an empty seat, and I said, is anybody sitting there? And he's like, no, have a seat. So I sat down, and he's our beloved Bill from our church, and we just striked up the conversation, and he said, where are you from? And I said, oh, Rancho Cucamonga. And I said, where are you from? He says, oh, Lancaster. And he said, you know, I go to a church in Rancho Cucamonga. And I said, oh, really? Where is it at? And it was literally behind my house. And I'm like, oh, okay.
That was so ironic.
I know. Can you even believe that? Can you believe that? And so I said, okay. So Sunday came around, and I actually wasn't going to go. I had told my daughter about it, Sydney, and she says, oh, yeah, Mom, let's go. And so I'm like, okay, I want my daughter to go to church. Let's go. And it was literally behind my house. And now Lancaster, for people around the world who don't know, is, what, about two hours from Rancho Cucamonga. So Bill lived there, and I live in Rancho 2 hours away, and that's where he was going to church. And I said, okay. So we went on Sunday, and there we met Pastor T and Tasila, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, everything they were saying was everything the Lord has been showing me for 10 years now, you know, 8 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked around. I'm like, why is this room not packed? Why is this room not, like, you know, wall to wall with people, because what you were telling was things I was being taught, but I really couldn't talk to anybody because it's not what's being taught out there in the churches. So we just started going to Pastor Tisila and T's church and learning, and I was for the first time able to talk to people who understand the Lord like I understood. You know, we all have different levels, you know, with the Lord.
Of,
you know,
understanding. Yeah, that's
yeah.
true.
So understanding, good, yeah. You know, you start mm-hmm. as a baby Christian, and then you work to maturity. That's where the Lord wants us to go, to maturity. And so it was just so nice to sit and talk with them, and just because you can't. People won't listen. They'll turn you away. And I love.
That is my favorite thing to do, even to this day, is talk about the Lord. If I'm at Walmart, if I'm at the gas station, if I'm at the wherever hair salon, always talking about the Lord. When I rest at my soccer games, always talking about the Lord. Always praying for people. I'm a prayer. Love to pray for everyone. Mm-hmm. I pray for people in my mm-hmm. fitness classes. I prayed for, like I said, people on the soccer field. Always praying with everyone. And then I think it was, so that was September. And then October, so this will be 4 years, Pastor T baptized my daughter and I in our backyard. So that was a wonderful, although I was baptized as Catholic, but
Catholics, when they baptize, it, you know, drip on the water, whatever, drip on your forehead. And so I really wanted to be immersed and baptized. And so they did. They baptized me and my daughter, and that was absolutely amazing. And I remember coming out of the water saying, I belong to Melchizedek priesthood now, because I learned that.
I remember that clearly. Amen.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, it was absolutely wonderful. And so we, you know, we just love everyone. You know, when I was growing up, I didn't care who you were. I didn't care what color you were, who you were, how much money you had, where you went to school. We love it. We've always loved everyone. My husband's that way. My children are that way. My daughter actually is a special ed teacher, and so she loves the children. She just is so good with them too. So we just love everyone. So the Lord is continually working with me. I've followed a few more pastors. Pastor J.D. Farag in Hawaii. He's a wonderful pastor that I've been mm-hmm. following, and then another pastor that I follow right now, and he recently passed away at the beginning of this year, Doug Riggs, and he had the Morning Star Ministries, which is quite interesting. I started following him about 2 years ago. My username since 2012 has been the Bright and Morning Star, because, of course, the Lord is the Bright and Morning Star. And so I came across somehow, and it's not somehow, because, you know, with the Lord, nothing's a coincidence.
Right.
I came across his ministry. It's Morning Star Ministries. And he has a load, a library load of messages going all the way back till, like, the early 2000s, 1997. And I've really learned a lot through him about the morning.
Is that the same with Rick Joyner?
No. No, Doug Riggs is out of New York, and if anybody's interested, it's called the Morning Star Ministries, and he's been pastoring for 40 or 50 years. He just recently passed in January. I believe he was in his
70s. Oh, I know who you're talking about now.
He actually helps
in exorcism.
He was actually involved in SRA, so that's a whole other topic,
if you ever wanted to get into that.
His main purpose was Paul's, is that, you know, the fullness of Christ formed in the body of Christ, so that way the rapture comes. So his purpose all along was what Paul's purpose was. But he did get involved in SRA, which is Satanic Ritual Abuse, and DID. He was involved in that for about 30 or 40 years. So that's a whole other issue. One night, if we wanted to cover that, we could do that. But he's an amazing pastor, just like you guys, so well-versed, so knowledgeable. He followed, like, T. Austin Sparks. He actually knew David Wilkerson. But a true, true man. I mean, almost like a Paul, really, just a true man. Wonderful, wonderful messages, if anybody's interested in that. So here I am. I'm still a work in progress.
Well, and that's something that you said, that about the satanic ritual abuse, because a lot of people are involved in that, and a lot of even Christians or pastors or beyond that don't know how to approach that subject or the person that's in bondage.
No.
And he was very keen. I know Doug Riggs. Talked to a lot of people. Yeah, I don't know him personally. I know of him. Let's rephrase that so we can stay clear. But he did help a lot of people to be relieved from that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times people out there, maybe some of you guys, people get into some of the things that are over their heads. And satanic ritual abuse, and like you said, crystals and mediums and all that kind of stuff. I remember at my job, I used to get into it with a doctor regarding how deeply she got into yoga, which I knew she was spiritually using it for her energy and to travel and all that kind of stuff. And like you said, the chakras and all that type of stuff. It's stuff out here that is so interesting and deep that a lot of people don't understand, but then they might run on to someone that have these issues. And actually, that's why I try to teach about generational destruction of spirit through the blood of Jesus Christ, because sometimes you can't get into all those things because a lot of people don't know the details, but the Lord kind of took Pastor T and I to understand some of those things, not all of them, like in depth, because we never dealt with it, but we understand it to the place where
people don't realize there's another kingdom, and he's the prince of the air right now. And so you don't realize you do become a target. And it's just like, you know, with Adam and Eve, you know, did God tell you this? Did God tell you that? And you would think, you know, okay, you had one commandment. Come on now. Like, all of us are like, you had one commandment, you know, could you not follow through with that? But if it was me, I would have been like, Lord, yeah, I ate the apple and all of the tree. You know, that's how, you know, bad my sins have been. But, you know, we have to learn, you know, that, you know, you got to follow the Lord and don't be distracted. And so for me, the Lord, like, sharing with me this week, it's like, see, Kelly, like, you know, where have I been? I haven't been out there. I'm not in the crystals. I'm not in the Ouija board. I'm not in the mediums. I'm not in those idols. I'm within you. I'm in you. I've not gone anywhere. I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm with you. Right. I'm in you. I've never gone anywhere. And Satan has always looked this way, looked that way, looked this way, look over there. But, again, the Lord uses those things, those trials and the tribulations that we go through, to mold and shape us and buy from me gold refined in fire. And, you know, I'm the potter and you're the clay, and you are going to be beautiful. You are going to get a righteousness. You're going to run your race just like Paul. I've run my race. I've fought the good fight of faith, and now I know what's waiting for me. It's that crown of righteousness. And I know all of us, I mean, can you think of all the Lord has had to go through? And he still wants to give us a crown of righteousness. And then I know we're all going to give it back to him. But I'm like, Lord, can I have a little tiara? Can I have a little tiara on my head? Instead of a
sabbatical. You know, that's cute, Kelly. You know, sometimes I see on even the internet where Christians are involving themselves in astrology and numbers and just different things. And they don't even realize what they're doing, how they're opening up doorways to demonic forces. And, and even on that Facebook, some of those things are so tricky when they're asking them, do they want to know what their names mean and send this chain letter saying that you're going to be or have this, and if you don't, this is going to happen. And people are actually chaining them and sending them to other people.
I know.
And they don't even realize.
I know it. I know. And I've done all those. I was love numerology, astrology, all of that. And again, it's a distraction. Satan knows his time is short. He knows it's short. So he's doing everything he can to destroy the church. He's done that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, all of that
and
stuff you get.
And the church. Even allows it.
I know. Well, even if this is kind of funny, because I kind of knew this. That I always tell my husband. They kind of laugh at me. They laughed at me back then, but now they see, because, you know, those challenges that everybody, you know, does. That ice bucket challenge actually was a satanic ritual, and people don't realize the things that
challenge.
You do. Yeah, even like you were saying, yoga. You know, everybody does yoga, but you don't realize the meaning. So there's a lot of meanings to all these different things, and people innocently, they don't know better. And, you know, the one thing I always, you know, tell everyone, you know, when the disciples came to the Lord and said, Lord, how do we know of your coming? How do we know you're going to be here? And what are your signs? Okay, he didn't say signs. He didn't say, oh, the thunder's going to go over here. You're going to see a lightning. The first thing he says, and he says it multiple times, be careful you are not deceived. Be careful the wool is not pulled over your eyes. And that is the biggest problem we have, is the deception in this world. It's so great. It's so out there. And unless you are grounded in the Lord and the Word, it's so important to read the Word. If you don't read the Word, how can the Holy Spirit remind
you?
That's what he's sent for. Yeah, he was sent to remind us of the things the Lord did and said. He's our comforter. He's our counselor. So if you're not in and reading the Word of the Lord, how can he bring it up to your memory? How can you, I mean, Satan came to Jesus and, you know, tested him. you know, if you do this, do this. You know, if you, you know, if you ask these rocks to turn to bread, and what did the Lord do? Straight to the word, straight to the word. He went straight to the word with everything. And so, you know, everyone out there, we all have trials and tribulations, but God is creating you into the image of his son. And you keep reading the word, keep moving forward, encourage one another, uplift one another in the Lord, and we will make it. And I'm not going to make it by myself. I really want the Lord to carry me across, because it's not me.
All honor and glory and praise go to my Lord and Savior. I did none of this. I was just
willing to die to myself, I guess, and I'm still working on it. Like I said, I'm still a work in progress, but I want,
well,
like, the...
Yeah, that's why Paul said we die daily.
Right. That,
yeah.
I love the poem, Footprints in the Sand. He's carried me many, many times, and it's his right to carry me across, so I can give him the crown of righteousness. So I hope and I pray that...
Kelly, you didn't tell us how many animals you have.
I know. Can you hear my dog in the background? I
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So
what's his
the
name?
Lord is, he's such a blessing. The Lord moved us from a very big city into a very small community of about 500 people. And right now I have 19 chickens. I have 3 goats, one that is probably in labor right now. So bless the Holy Spirit's heart for giving me the strength to get through right now, because I'm pretty exhausted. I have a dog and a cat, and we're on 5 acres. And the Lord moved us up here right before the virus hit. And so
I give honor and glory to my Lord for everything that he has done. And he's not only going to be there for me, but everyone out there. Just put your trust in the Lord and let him love you. That's all he wants. It's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's so simple. Just love and trust him. Believe in him. Believe. Not just know the word, but truly, like Tisila and Pastor T has taught me, it's like you can't just know the word. You have to believe it. And if you believe the Lord came and died on the cross, was resurrected, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, you have to believe all his word. He said he'll never leave or forsake you. He said, if you trust in me with all your heart and acknowledge me, lean not on your own understanding, I will make your path straight. He promises that. So you stand on his promises, always stand on his promises.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's it. Do you have any?
Do you have any unwanted animals there, Kelly, at all, that come on your property?
Any? Yeah, we do. Well, not unwanted. This morning, actually, there were 5 bucks in our backyard. So we get a lot of deer. We get skunks. There's a bobcat that runs around. Not very many coyotes, but we do get a lot of rabbits. We get a lot of birds.
Yeah, it's like it's animal kingdom up here. There's people that have cows and donkeys and horses.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like I said, we came from a huge city
in a tract home, and again, the Lord blessed us. Five acre farm home, and I don't even know how I got here sometimes. I've got chickens and goats, and I'm scared to death right now because I've got a goat labor.
And,
well, we're gonna let you pray for the people, because there's a lot of people listening, and a lot of people that are bound, and a lot of people think it's okay to be speaking to mediums. I know Christians that have gone to mediums, and for whatever reason, and I don't understand how the two have anything to do with each other. And, you know, I could see how a lot of things have crept into the church. And
oh,
I want
yeah.
you to, you know, pray for people that are into things they shouldn't be in, because it's common on TV for them to bring a medium in to speak to all the people and tell them their destiny. And a lot of times people don't realize the doorways that they're opening up, even by watching any of that, you know. Just
You know, the Lord has asked us, you know, to be holy as he is holy, you know. So we need to get rid of these,
you know, things that are bringing us down and focus, you know, on the Lord. As we all know, it's getting darker. And our focus needs to be more and more on the Lord. And you're right, those mediums, they're not talking to anybody but demons. So, and I did the same thing, and you don't realize it. That's the thing. You don't, unless you have someone to guide you. Like, I didn't have that guidance when I asked the Lord into my heart. I didn't have guidance in my own family, my home. I didn't have the guidance of what's right, what's wrong. And I mean, you should know, you know, but if you don't have that guidance in church, you know, it's rough. It's really rough. And, you know, you've got to just get into the Word. You know, that Holy Bible is a love story for mankind, a love story. Amen. The Lord wants his family. So I would absolutely love to pray, because I know we only have a few more minutes here. So I ask the Holy Spirit to help me with this.
He's always my helper, my comforter. I can always count when I need to pray. Lord always says, you know, don't worry about what you're going to say. You know, the Holy Spirit will fill you with the words. And so, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time, this fellowship time with my brothers and sisters. We just honor you. We give you thanks and praise. And, you know, Lord, I just ask that you would, you came to, you know, heal the brokenhearted, to heal, you know, the blindness that we have. You came to break the chains. And, Lord, you want us to be filled with you and your love. And Satan is such a distraction and brings up these hurdles in front of us. But I do know, Lord, these trials and tribulations will gear us towards you. You are molding us, Lord, and you're guiding us. And so I just ask that, Holy Spirit, that you would fill each and everyone out there with your love, your righteousness, your peace. I pray, Father God, that you would open their eyes to your truth, your wisdom. Give them strength, encourage them, knowing that they are not alone. You know, even at one time I was suicidal, but don't even let those thoughts enter your mind. They're coming from the pits of hell. You know, let the Lord fill your thoughts. He says, meditate on his word night and day. Think about him always. Worship him in praise. You know, sing to him. Talk to him. He wants to have fellowship with you. So, Lord, I know all these traps and schemes of the enemies. He goes around to kill and destroy, and he's an author of lies and confusion. And, Lord, you are the Prince of Peace. So I pray whoever hears these words, Lord, that you would just, again, encourage them, fill them with your love, more and more each day, your peace. For Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. And so I thank you for allowing me, Lord, to share our testimony, our love story. But everyone out there has a love story of their own. Just take the time to think about the things the Lord has done for you, all the blessings. Just love on him. He wants to love on you. So, Father, I so look forward to that crown of righteousness ahead of me that I want to give back to you and have that little tiara on my head. And I know Paul said, not only for him is he looking, but all those who are to come, who are overcomers, who have the morning star arising in their heart, for your glory and your honor. And then we're with you for all eternity. So, Father, help those who are lost, who haven't asked you into their heart, and then let us be a light for you. Let us be that ambassador, the light and salt of the earth, so that we can show these good works and the good fruit and put it down at your feet. So again, Lord, I thank you for Pastor T and Tasila. I lift them up to you. I lift all my brothers and sisters in Christ to you for blessing
and hope. You are our blessed hope. So Father God, I love you and thank you for this journey
and for the journey to come, for the time of the rapture when you take the bride out of here, and for the millennium reign that's coming, and for all eternity. I look forward to meeting all my brothers and sisters, and I pray this in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 We really enjoyed
beautiful.
You telling
beautiful
prayer, beautiful testimony, and I pray that all you guys heard her so that you will know exactly who's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And remember, the only way to enter into the kingdom is for the Father to see Jesus in you, fully formed.
Amen.
And we pray that you guys will be back next week. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.
Love you all. Bye-bye.